You're listening to Digital Quarantine, Redefining the New Normal, a podcast sharing insights about different business topics during the global pandemic. The show is hosted by Sydney Schaefer, founder and CEO of Kingfish Digital. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Quarantine with me, Sydney Schaefer. Today we have a really interesting guest, and his name is Elliot Baldini. He is the Chief Marketing Officer of School of Rock, and one of my longtime friends, if that's okay to call you that, Elliot.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. I think you guys are going to hear some really interesting perspectives on how School of Rock has changed their business model a little bit because of the current climate. So with that, I'm going to turn that over to Elliot and let you introduce yourself.
Hey, thanks so much, Sydney. Really humbled to be here. I was looking forward to this conversation. Thanks so much for having me. My name's Elliot Baldini. As Sydney said, I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at School of Rock. We're the world's largest performance-based music education company, and looking forward to talking about quarantine issues.
We're starting to, what feels like, enter into the new normal. Like, people are starting to acclimate. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I feel like it's kind of gone from like this panic mode to a lot of companies are almost finding their stride in like how they've had to change business. And it's kind of like, okay, now we're in this weird normalization. How do we move forward? Is that how you guys are feeling?
You know, it's interesting to use a musical metaphor. When you learn how to play guitar, you start building calluses on your fingers. And that's kind of what it feels like is, you know, the shock to the system when the, you know, the stay-at-home order started and when quarantining started happening. It was difficult. People were working remotely. We were working very quickly, and it was a fast-paced environment to kind of adapt and change. And I wouldn't say necessarily that things are slower paced, but I think it's more of, you know, we as a company, as a team, marketers in general, I think have started developing calluses to the way things are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're starting to see like new baselines. For a while, it felt...
Was that another musical instrument pun?
I'm not even doing this on purpose, Elliot. It's just, you're that good today that... I'm doing my best metaphors that I can think of, but I really do think that we're at the point forming a baseline of what performance is starting to look like, and it's kind of starting to improve over time as you know, as some of these stay-at-home orders are lifted. You can see that in certain areas that, I don't know, you know, online advertising, that stuff is starting to become a little bit more normal. But I just think generally it feels like even employees and regular people are starting to stop panicking, I think, at this point anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there are a lot of businesses and entities that are not out of the woods. But I know there are people that I think are at least feeling like there is less ambiguity and they kind of know a little more what to expect over the coming months.
Yep, I totally agree with you. So I wanted to touch on what I introed a little bit in the beginning. And I think one of the most interesting things you guys have done in this kind of quarantine is the way that you had to move lessons online and the marketing behind that. I know that a lot of people are probably wondering, you know, how did you guys as a team approach moving your classes online? Obviously, don't give away the secret sauce here, but would love to hear what the process was like.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we, like many businesses, had to figure out how to operate and what the rules of operation were in a COVID-19 world. You know, we really specialize in a unique type of music education. We have a number of methodologies and principles that we adhere to and that we apply in our programs. But many of them really rely on an interaction with students and teachers in a band or rehearsal or group setting. right? And so we believe that the best way to perform, or sorry, the best way to learn music is by performing it together, because you learn how your piece of the musical work fits together. So how does the guitar part fit with the bass, and how does the bass fit with the drum? And we have a variety of programs, but they all revolve around that principle. And so, you know, what we had to figure out is, how do we translate that educational approach to an online experience? And so what we ultimately did is we created and released a new educational paradigm that we call School of Rock Remote. And as the name implies, it's a way for students to take all of our existing programs and curriculum remotely through an online program.
I think that's really cool. I know that there's probably quite a few people that are listening that, you know, maybe haven't heard of that before. You know, I had a question. I don't know if you have the answer to this, but do you think you guys, when COVID is over and we start to go back to normal, do you think you guys will keep offering remote lessons, or is that something that you guys have thought of at this point?
You know, that's a really good question. It's a point of conversation a lot. You know, we've been really surprised that customers have really enjoyed this. I think there's a number of reasons for that, but one of those reasons is there are people that just have weird schedules. There are people that might have moved too far away from a School of Rock, so they were an existing customer, but they've moved and there's not a location near them, or they moved to another area and they just really like an instructor with whom they've worked previously. And for those situations, this remote application has really been beneficial and has been well received with them. We'll see what the future brings.
I could definitely see that, especially for people that are remote in areas that normally can't access something like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. We're getting inquiries from overseas in countries where we don't operate. We're in 10 countries right now. But we're getting students that are signing up and taking lessons remotely from all over the world, which is really exciting. It's cool to see the brand go to places where we hadn't expected that it would be yet.
That's really awesome. Yeah, that's a whole new level of awareness for you guys. That's very cool. So I want to dive into another topic, and we touched on this a little bit about forming a baseline, and both you and I are marketers. So I want to touch on, how has your team approached marketing what is basically a new service offering?
Well, I think it's the same way that, you know, the go-to-market approach that we had for remote is largely the same approach that we would take with other programs or marketing campaigns or communications. I think the difference is the planning cycle. So for us, we were in the midst of planning Q1 2020 when COVID hit around February. And, you know, so we have a super long lead time planning cycle. And obviously COVID hit, and within 2 weeks, we're like launching this online program to 10 countries in 270 plus schools. And so we took the same approach, which is, okay, let's look at our customer data. Let's figure out the positioning. How do we talk about this? Let's create a campaign around it. Let's build out a media plan, et cetera. But we had to do that. Instead of having 12 months to do that, we had about 7 days to do that.
Oh my goodness. That's not condensed at all.
Oh my gosh. It was a wild ride, but super fun. I'm just so, you know, honored and privileged to have such a great team with whom I work, and really proud of the accomplishments we were able to get to launch that so quickly.
You know, it's got to bring you, like, if you're ever part of a startup, it's got to bring you to like the startup days. I mean, that's like a life cycle of a startup almost.
100%. Yeah. And it's weird because I still think of School of Rock as very entrepreneurial. It has that startup-y feel at times, but, you know, but having such a quick turn, it was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is really what, you know, the fast-paced life is like. I'd kind of forgotten for a few years.
I bet. I mean, I wish I could say I forgotten what it's like to work at startups, but I mean, it's got,
you're living it.
It's got to add like a level of, I don't know. I mean, not to say that this whole situation is exciting, but like it almost wakes you up a little bit, you know, cause I feel like once you've been doing a job long enough or a part of a company long enough, you kind of get into a routine. So is there some aspect of this that it kind of, I don't know, you know what I mean? It like reopened your team's eyes to new ideas and innovation a little bit more?
Well, I think collectively we gained a lot of gray hair.
I could see that.
A lot of wrinkles in our foreheads. No, it was, you know what? I think like many startups experience or many very entrepreneurial companies and even larger companies, when you have a big obstacle or challenge or opportunity that you need to overcome and you get there, it just really strengthens the confidence and the bonds that you have with those people. And I think that's what happened. So I think we as a team, both from a marketing perspective and company-wide, just feel just really grateful to our customers, really grateful for each other, you know, to have been able to pivot to have been able to pivot so quickly.
So Elliot, I think we'd all love to know, what have you been doing with your time in quarantine? Do you have any new hobbies?
It's a great question. A lot of people were asking me that, so much so that I'm like, well, I guess I need to find a new hobby because I was really bored. So I enjoy writing. I enjoy marketing. And I just stumbled into, from a random conversation with a friend, was telling me, hey, you know, I was looking for some information on this marketing topic the other day, and I'm just really having trouble. I don't know enough to know what I don't know. And so I don't know what I need to Google, and I don't know what I need to find. And as I kind of explored this, it's kind of a weird issue, because there's so many great marketing resources online, but most of them are very, very focused on specific things. And so if you're, you know, a small business owner or someone that's taking some type of entrepreneurial venture during the coronavirus, you may not know exactly what you need to Google. And so what I've done is I've started a free marketing resources website where I'm taking like broad topics that are probably most relevant for people that are new to marketing or that are really accomplished business people, but may not have had a lot of background in marketing. And I'm creating content for them that'll kind of help them know enough to know what they need to do when it comes to demand generation, marketing, customer acquisition, et cetera. And so the website is called freemarketingmetrics.com. And about once a week, I post a new article. I've also started posting videos. And you know, people have started writing in asking for topics. And so when I have some time, I'll write a topic and post it. And it's been really cool just to feel like I'm doing something, not only with my time, but to help potentially people that are looking for resource articles to help their businesses.
That's really cool. From a topic perspective, what are the kind of topics that you are, you know, what are you hearing people ask for, and what are you writing right now?
There, you know, it kind of centers around the metrics side of marketing. I find, at least from people with whom I speak that that aren't marketers, they know a little bit about, let's say, email marketing, in that they know that, oh my gosh, I'd love to send out an email to these customers to tell them about something. But they might not know how to improve the performance of an email. They might not know how to get the most out of a customer list that they have. And so, for example, I'll create an article about, hey, let's look at the various email marketing metrics and let's figure out how to use them and what the drivers are for each step in this email funnel so that even someone new to marketing or email marketing can figure out how to get a little bit more out of their email marketing efforts. So I'll take topics like that and then produce content around it.
I know the issue I had when I first started, and I think you're probably going to see a lot of people that because of what's happened, because of COVID, are going to maybe look at doing job changes, or, you know, they're going to try and learn new things. So I think that this is really, you know, a phenomenal thing that you're doing, because there aren't a lot of articles out there that like go deep into like the strategy behind metrics. Like there's a lot of articles that are like, oh yeah, this is what CPC is, this is what CPM is, but it doesn't really talk about the use behind it.
Yeah, that's the interesting piece, is like using that email example, like, you know, someone that's brand new to email marketing will either find a general article about what email marketing is, very high level, but not actionable. Or you can go and you can search and say, well, how do I improve my deliverability rate? But so the problem with that is there's nothing in the middle. And so someone that just wants to know how to action some email insights to improve the performance doesn't know what email deliverability is, let alone the metrics behind it and how to improve it. And so what I'm trying to do is create action-oriented content pieces that would help people who don't know enough to know what they need to Google to figure out how to improve their stuff. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great use of time, considering the extra time you have. I mean, look what I'm doing. I'm recording podcast episodes now, something I never thought I'd do. So it's good you found an active hobby. So the last question I have about that topic is, how do people get involved? How do they submit topics to you?
With free marketing metrics?
Yes.
It's a great question. So, you know, it's fairly informal. You can go to freemarketingmetrics.com. There's a contact us form that just emails me. And if you have an idea for a topic, or if you are also bored and you're listening to this and you know a little bit about marketing and you'd like to write an article, would love to have you. And if there's anything else that that you might have as far as ideas or comments, give us a shout.
I think that takes us to the end of this episode. Elliot, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I think people are going to find the stuff you talked about really interesting. I know I did. And I hope that I can bring you back on again, and, you know, maybe we can discuss a different topic, something marketing related, maybe a topic that you really like that you wrote an article about, and we can kind of get into a little bit more detail, if that sounds good.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, you are listening to another episode of Digital Quarantine. Stay tuned for next week's episode.